This week, the theme is that on basic training. And giving the thought of that of being in the military, and obviously being in the military, you understand that there is an enemy. And there is a battle, and there is an engagement. And whether you realize it or not, in our world today, there is a battle that is raging. It is not a physical battle with guns and bombs, but it is a battle between two messages. There is the message of God, and then there is the message of Satan. And both of these messages are being proclaimed in the world today. For most of you, if not all of you, you hear Satan's message more than you hear God's message. I mean, we just got to be honest. You spend more time on your television than you do spending time in church or reading the Word of God. That means that Satan has more of an opportunity to get your attention. He has your eyes, he has your ears more than God does. Now, I'm not saying being on our tablet or watching television or being on a phone is wrong. Nor am I saying that God can't communicate or have something there for you. But I also recognize that in this day and age in which we live, Satan's message is being more prominent than the message of God. But you know, this week you have an opportunity. You have no television. You're not supposed to have your cell phones. Your tablets are not there with you. But you will have more time in the Bible, more time in this room for chapel, for church, for the preaching of God's Word. Now I know that for some of you may say, well, this time is the least favorite time of camp. I love the swimming, I love the games, I love the meals that are prepared, hanging out with my friends. This is just something that we have to endure and get through, and we look at our clock, well, when's the next activity? But I'll tell you, if you change your attitude and change your mindset, you might find out that God's message is far better than Satan's message. You may come to realize that God actually has something to say to you at this point in your life, that God is interested in you, not just interested in your parents or the adults that you know or interested in the church that you come from, but that God has a message for you. And that message can really help you and benefit you in your life. And so this morning I want to take a few moments and expose one of Satan's deadly messages that he is speaking very loud and clear, especially in your generation and in the culture in which you are growing up. And there are many things that we could look at, but this one I'm finding is becoming more and more of a problem, especially for young people, and it's becoming very destructive as you grow up and develop. And if you believe this message that Satan is preaching, then you're going to have a very troubled life and a very different and difficult adulthood. So what is that message that he's preaching? Well, let me put it this way. Satan is preaching a message today that every single one of you are a victim. You are a victim of something. And you hear it in the world today. People are saying, well, I'm a victim of racism. I'm a victim of discrimination. I'm a victim of bullying. I'm a victim of poverty. I'm a victim of abuse. And maybe even here this morning, there are some that would say, well, I'm a victim of religious brainwashing. I mean, it's my parents who tell me I have to go to church. It's my pastors or youth director or Sunday school teachers that say, sit up and listen and open your Bibles and pay attention and answer the questions and memorize the scriptures. But really in my heart, that's not what I want. I want something else. And so I'm a victim of being in a Christian home and in a Christian church. And there are many other things that we can say we're victims of. It's very interesting in our day and age, whatever you want to be a victim of, you can just put that label on yourself. Life has done me wrong. Things are unfair. It's not going my way. And so therefore, I am a victim. And what happens is you develop this victim mentality. And you look at life through those lenses. And I'll tell you this, if you believe Satan's message, you will choose to live life like a victim. And by the way, that's not a good choice. Because living as a victim only brings more abuse upon you. Because there's a clash that goes on in our world that if we're all victims and we're all fighting for people to recognize us and pity us and care about us and love on us, guess what? You're going to run into another victim that's going to fight for the same thing, and there's nobody there that will meet your need. But I want to show you that God has a very different message. That His desire is to live as a victim, even though maybe bad things have happened to you. God wants you to live as a conqueror and rise above the problems and the issues that have come in your life. And instead of identifying with tragedy or hardship or difficulty or unfairness, you say, there's a greater purpose in my God, and I'd rather keep my eyes on what He has to say than allow Satan to constantly drag me down to this place of always being a victim. And so this morning, I want to introduce you to a man. Possibly at this point in his life, he was a teenager who chose not to be a victim, even though everything in his life was against him. But yet he chose to live a better life because he listened to what God had to say and he chose God's way. If you have your Bible, take it and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. The book of Chronicles, in fact, the first 9 chapters are fairly boring reading because it's a list of names. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and this man begat so-and-so. And so in our Bible reading, and probably this week at camp, this is not the scheduled Bible reading for you. I'm going through and reading and studying these verses. But yet in them, we find that God places truths and stops along the way to give us something that we desperately need. And here in chapter number 4, God does that for us. He takes a short break from going through the list of names, and He mentions a man and says, now this man did something that you ought to take note of. Now we don't have a lot of details about this man. We don't have a long record of what he did and said and how he lived. We just have a small snippet. But in that snippet that God gives, there is much for us to learn. The man I want to address is the man Jabez here in verse number 9. There's only 2 verses that speak about this man Jabez, and here they are. The Bible says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. They say, well, where is the victim mentality in this story of Jabez? I mean, we see in verse 10 that he asked God to do something. God answered his prayer and he was blessed because of it. In fact, this man is not a victim at all. He's doing quite well. Well, what we need to focus on is verse number 9. And there's 2 things here that show us that Jabez had a bit of a difficulty in the early days of his life. One of them is his name. The name Jabez means to grieve. That is what his name means. Now in the Bible, names are very specific in their meaning and they are significant. Many of the names of people that were in the Word of God attached to their character or to what they would do or a promise of God or something that their parents viewed. And you'll note that Jabez's mother here named him so, and she says why, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, we don't know what that sorrow is. We don't know if there was a tragedy. We don't know if there was some bad thing that took place in her life or in the life of Jabez. But out of all the names that she could have chosen, she said, I'm going to name my son Grief. He is a grief to me. How many of you would love for that to be your name from your parents? The doctor welcomes you into the world. He cleans you up, wraps you in that blanket, and says, well, here's your little baby boy or baby girl. What do you want to name them? Name them Grief and Sorrow and Misery, because that's what they are to me. I'm glad my parents didn't name me that. I'm glad that's in how they didn't view me. Many parents that I've come across, it's one of the most joyous days of their life. Wow, we have a little boy, a little girl. This is wonderful. This is a blessing of God. Let's find a name that is strong. Let's find a name that is meaningful. But here Jabez's mother said, he's a grief. Then you note there at the beginning of verse 9, it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now in our minds, we feel honorable. That means that he was greater than all of his brothers and sisters. And you know, this was a well-spoken man. This was a skillful man. He was somebody to look up to. But actually in the Hebrew, that word more honorable, or the phrase, means burdensome and dull. He was the guy you didn't want to have on your team. He's the guy that you say, you know what, we'll kind of leave him there because he's boring to be around. He's no fun. He's not cool. This guy is kind of out in his own little field. We don't want to be around him. And what I want you to see, young people, is that there are two things that were going against Jabez. Everybody that knew him said he's a burden to us, he's dull, he's boring, he's worthless. His own mother named him her sorrow. And so from day one, no one valued Jabez. They all considered him to be worthless. Now I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Jabez. You've gotten this name from your mother. You're growing up. Nobody really wants to be around you. No one sees value in your life. Everybody just sees you as kind of a little off and maybe a bit pathetic or not as smart or whatever it may be. And that's what they're communicating to you. Do you know the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 21 that death and life are the power of the tongue? May I stop and say this? We need to be very careful what we say to one another. Even in jest, those words can wound. Well, you're no fun, or I don't like you, or you're boring, or we use other words that are demeaning and derogatory, or we just use filthy language. That cuts to the heart. And this is what Jabez grew up with. Every single day, Jabez, go take out the trash. A reminder, you're my grief. Every single day, growing up in school, no one saw any worth in him. You're not going to amount to anything. And constantly, those words are beating on him. I don't know what is going on in your life. I don't know if people are encouraging you or they're beating you down. I don't know if you have parents that are constantly saying, you're going to amount to something. God's got great plans for you. Or you have parents and friends and those in life that look at you and say, well, you're a pain and you're an annoyance and we don't want you around. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter. Because what David said in the Psalms was this, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is a creator God that sees and has value in you. And what I want us to understand, that if we're going to get out of this victim mentality in our own mind, is that we're going to have to rise above our critics. And young people, there are going to be critics of you. Understand this, not everybody's going to be for you. Not everyone's going to want to be your friend. Not everyone's going to see the value in you. There are going to be plenty of people that are haters and those that are despisers and those that are envious and those that are jealous, and they're going to try to cut you down and tear you down. But if you are going to rise above this, well, nobody likes me and nobody's for me, it's going to be rising above them with your eyes on God. And that is necessary today, because the devil's message is this: life's not fair and life doesn't value you, and you need to scream loud and tell the world how great you are and how worthy you are. And I'll tell you, you're going to find yourself in a constant conflict. We need to rise above our critics. Understand this: people's opinions of you, people's opinions of you can be a stumbling block and cause you to live as a victim. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso trusteth in the Lord is safe." Are you listening this morning? Are you listening this morning? That means you've got to give me some feedback. Yeah, there we go. Take it. I'll do it again now that you got your cue. Are you listening to me this morning? Okay. Because these truths are things that God wants you to hear. You're not going to hear it in the world. You're not going to see it on the internet or on the television. They're going to constantly say, your rights have been violated. They're going to pull you down to be a victim when God wants you to be a conqueror. Number two, the second thing I see about Jesus is that he rose above his critics. Mom called me a grief. My friends say I'm burdensome and dull. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, that God created me for a purpose. He has a plan for my life. And so I better figure out what that plan is. And so in verse number 10, what we note here is that he dared to dream big. Listen to his prayer to the Lord. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Exclamation point. That means that he said it with passion. He said it with energy. God, there's nobody in my life that values me or sees any worth in me, but I'm crying out to you, I want to do something big in life. I want to fulfill a great purpose and make a difference. Now, we don't know exactly what that was. We note that phrase, he said, enlarge my coast. It could mean that he just wanted to have more acreage around him. He was more of a private guy. I want to live out in the boonies. It may have been that he was a cattleman or a sheep herder, and he thought, you know, if I'm going to extend my flocks and my cattle, I got to have more land to feed them on. It may be that he wanted to be a farmer and plant more corn. We don't know what it was, but he came to the Lord and he didn't say, well, Lord, bless me indeed and take away what I have. He said, Lord, I want more. Now understand and remember this. For Jabez, his future looked very grim. No one was giving him a helping hand. There were no scholarships for him to go off to a prestigious college. There was nobody that was saying, come and be my apprentice and we'll train you and we'll help you to be better in life. Jabez was all alone. Nobody wanted to help him. Nobody wanted to direct him. And so he had heard about the God of Israel and he thought, you know, maybe I'll just look up to the heavens and cry out and say, oh God of Israel, will you help me to become something, to do something? Many men in the Bible cried unto the Lord. You can jot this down and read this out of Psalm 116, verses 1 through 7. Another man, David, he just cried unto the Lord. He said, Lord, in my trouble, I have nobody to help me. I have nobody caring about me. I'm all alone. Probably in the he was in the wilderness or a cave by himself. And he said, Lord, no one's for me. Everyone's against me, but I'll cry unto you. And then he testified, he says, and my God heard me and answered me. And he delivered me. Notice here how Jabez's prayer is broken up. And let's just put it into terms that we rarely think about. But as I read this, I look at this not just as a religious prayer or a repeat, but I'm listening to the heart of Jabez and what he's saying. And I guarantee there are some young people here this morning that this is really what your prayer is. It's not one of these, well, our Heavenly Father, bless our day and watch over us and help us to have fun. There's a real need in your heart. And I'll tell you, God would prefer that you're real with Him than religious with Him. Jabez prayed a very real prayer. Number one, he said, God, notice me. God, notice me. He said, oh, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed. Note that phrase, oh, that Thou wouldest. Oh, would to God that You would hear my cry and notice this young man, Jabez. The young man that has been forsook by all others. The young man that has no future. But God, would You look down upon me? There may be times in your life where you're all alone. David wrote about this in Psalm 27, verse 10. He said, my father and my mother forsook me, but the Lord took me up. Understand, young people, that God notices you and He cares about you and He does want to help you. So stop with the victim mentality. Well, no one likes me and no one's for me and nobody wants me to be my friend and everything's against me. No, it's not. There's a God in heaven that does notice you. He said, all that Thou wouldest. Then look, he said, bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. What is that? He said, oh God, help me. Help me, Lord, to do something in this life, to have a purpose in this life. God, I'm a farmer. I don't want to just farm a little plot of ground. I want to farm many acres of ground. I don't want to just raise a couple of sheep. I want to have herds of sheep. I want to be like my forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to see Your blessings. But God, I can't do it on my own. I need Your help. You know, the Bible tells us that we have not because we ask not. And sometimes the victim mentality is this, well, I'm just not smart enough. Maybe you're not, but have you asked God to help you be smart? Well, I just don't have the opportunities like all my other friends. It seems like everything just falls in their lap, and it's so hard for me. Have you ever asked God to open a door for you? I mean, honestly. Stop crying about what you don't have and start crying to God and say, God, help me. Just ask God, Lord, I would like this. He delights in us sharing the desires of our heart. And this is what Jabez is doing. He's taking a chance. Maybe God will hear me. Maybe God will listen to me and help me. What can it hurt? Nobody else is. I'll test God. I'll try God. Then he also said, use me, God. Note there in the next phrase, that Thine hand might be with me. He recognized that this was impossible in his own strength and his own ability. And he said, God, You give me the power. You give me the ability. I need Your strength to use me to do greater things. And then he flows right in and he says, and keep me from evil. He said, Lord, protect me. Now, I don't know what exactly that part of the prayer was about. It could have been this, that Jabez said, well, there's a bunch of land out there. And if I go and enlarge my coast, I may go up and fight against the Philistines or the Amorites. And Lord, I need You to protect me against my enemies. It may be that he thought, you know, there's lions and bears and all those things out there. Lord, protect me from the predators. It may have been, they said, Lord, as You enlarge my coast and You use me, it may have been the prayer that Solomon had in Proverbs 30, where he said, Lord, feed me with food that is convenient for me. Don't make me so rich that I curse Your name and abandon You. And don't let me be so poor that I go out and steal. Lord, protect me from losing my character and not walking by the standards of Your book. This is what it means to dream big. Instead of be the victim. God, if you're up there, take notice of me. Help me, use me, protect me, show that you're interested in me. See, young people, your opinion of God can be a stumbling block and cause you to live as a victim. Was it not God who said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not? But many times, even in our spiritual life, we say, well, you know, I go to church and I read my Bible and I'm trying to live a godly and pure life and I'm doing all those things and it seems like I never get forward. It's always harder, you know, and life's just tough. And really what it comes down to is this, is that you've never dreamed big. You've never come to God and said, God, this is what I desire. Help me to see what you've created me for. Amen. See, none of you are losers. You listening? None of you are failures. None of you are victims unless you choose to identify as such. God didn't create you that way. Oh, I'm sure God created me. You know, I am unique. Like my mama said. You may be unique. You may have a different personality and different talents and abilities, but there's still a great purpose. And God says, ask me to enlarge your coast. See, the victim mentality comes because we don't rise above our critics. We listen to people instead of God. We dare to dream big. We live in this little box. Nothing can be done. I can't do anything. But then thirdly and lastly, what I want you to understand, young people, is that God can change your destiny. My favorite part of these two verses is the last phrase in verse 10. Here's Jabez. I'm a grief. I'm a burden. I'm dull. But I'm going to dream big. I'm going to talk to this God, the God of Israel. Ask him to do something with me. And then at the end it says, and God granted him that which he requested. God said yes. Why did God say yes? Because he didn't want Jabez to live as a victim. He wanted him to live as a victor. As you read through the Bible, do you notice this, that many times God uses the analogy of warfare to describe the Christian? If you also notice that God, on a number of occasions, said, ye are more than conquerors. You're overcomers. Is there anywhere in the Bible that God writes, you are a failure? You are a loser? You are nothing? Not for the Christian. He says, I want you to have the mindset, you're a victor. You're a conqueror. That through me, you can do the things that I've called you to do. See, Jabez here understood what God could do. Four things, real quick here. Number one, Jabez's faith. He called on the God of Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of his forefathers. He called upon Jehovah God. That's faith. That action. It's not just this, well, I know there's a God, or I believe there's a God, or I think there's a God. Jabez didn't say, well, I'm crazy just talking to the sky here. He says, there's a God up there, and I'm going to talk to him. He believed. That is what faith is. It's an action based upon the Word of God. And the Word of God says there is a God, and that we can talk to that God, and we can act by faith, and God will listen. There was Jabez's faith. Secondly, there was Jabez's fellowship. Note there he says, be with me. That's key. He didn't say, God, just give me. He said, be with me. Lord, as you expand my coast, I want you to be there with me in my coast. See, young people, let me say this. You will be a victim when all you do is see God as a genie to get what you want. Well, I'll pray and I'll be good enough and I'll do all these things, and as soon as I get the life I want, then I'm going to run out. And this is a reality, maybe even for some here today. You're coming up to your 18th birthday, and soon you can go do what you want to do. But I'll tell you, that's not how you're going to enlarge your coast. God, come with me. God, be with me every step of the way. I want to fellowship with you. We see Jabez's fight. He says, "Thy hand might be with me." Life is a battle. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have conflicts. You're going to have challenges. But notice he says that thy hand might be with me. God doesn't call us to run away from fights. God doesn't call us to just curl up and cry or run scared. He says, I want to be there with you. We all know the young man David against Goliath. If you go and read that passage in 1 Samuel, when he came up against Goliath, what did he say? He didn't come out and say, in the power of David's might. He said, in the name of the Lord and in the power of his might. But he still had a stone in a sling. See, sometimes we're the victim because we don't want to face any conflict in life. Life's so hard. People are so mean to me. Nothing goes my way. How about you start being nice to people? And you might have some friends. How about you put in a little bit of effort in what you need to do instead of thinking everything's just going to be handed to you? Yeah, you got to pick up some stones and you got to go face some giants. But if you're in fellowship with God, He's there with you. He'll make sure the stone hits where it needs to. See, if it was me, I'd probably fling it and hit his big toe. Just make the guy angry. We need God to direct it. But then fourthly, I want you to notice Jabez's fear. At the end of his prayer, he said that it may not grieve me. He said, Lord, I need you to bless me. I need you to do something with me. I need you to be with me. I need you to protect me. But he said that it may not grieve me. What was his fear? His fear was that he would live life as a victim. God, if you don't answer me and help me, then I'm going to live up my name. I'm a grief. I'm a burden. I'm dull. He said, Lord, I need your help. See, young people, whatever it is that's causing you to be a victim, God can heal the wounds. He can mend up the hurts. And He can transform you into a conqueror and a victor in this life. See, the third stumbling block is yourself. Your opinion of yourself can be a stumbling block and cause you to live as a victim. I'll finish with this story. Another young man. It was the son of Gideon. Many of you are familiar with the story of Gideon. Gideon himself, man, he lived as a victim, didn't he? But the angel of the Lord came to him and said, thou mighty man of valor, get up and do something. And he did. And he went up there with 300 other men against the Midianites, and they won the day, and it was beautiful how God delivered them. And Gideon and his men chased down all those kings. And you read about it in Judges 8. They catch up with all those kings, and they're kind of taunting them. They're like, we're going to kill you guys, and we're going to kill you brutally. Gideon looked over at his son, and he said, son, why don't you do the honors? Kill these kings. And the young man ran away. He said, I can't because I'm just a youth. He identified as a victim and he missed out on the victory. Satan wants you to identify as a victim in this life. You're not. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. by a Creator who has a purpose for you. And what He desires in your heart today is to have that courage to come and say, Creator God, will You bless me and use me and help me and protect me in this life? Because I want to have bigger coast. I don't want to listen that I can't do anything. I won't amount to anything. I know that You've created me for a reason. And I want You with me in this journey. Whose message are you going to listen to? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.